Welcome to Her Brotherhood Podcast, where we celebrate women who put their lives on the line. I'm your host, Abby Bolt, and today I am so excited to be talking to Amanda Huffman, the creator and host of Women of the Military Podcast. She also is the creator of Airman to Mom blog, and she interviews women who have served in the military or are currently serving in the military. She shares certain aspects of her experiences as an Air Force officer, a military spouse, a veteran, and a mom. We also even talk about Space Force in here. So I'm really looking forward to this interview, and I hope you enjoy it too. We are here on Her Brotherhood with Amanda. I've been trying to reach her for so long. We're both so busy. So Amanda, tell me your full name. What it is? Why are you here today? Like, what is it that connects you to Her Brotherhood, and kind of give them an idea of why we reached out to each other?
So my name is Amanda Huffman, and I am a military spouse and an Air Force veteran. And I left the military six, seven years ago. And when I left, I had a complete identity crisis because I lost my identity of being in the military, and I was a mom, and it wasn't what I expected. And so one of the things that I got drawn into was I started writing because I had always loved to write, even though I'm an engineer, which doesn't make sense to me. But I always have loved to write, and blogging was sort of new. And so I said, I'll start a blog and I'll just make money, and that's not how it works. And I didn't know what I was doing, and I learned a lot about like different things and marketing and stuff. And I was also trying to figure out like what I was supposed to be writing about. So I was like writing about everything from natural birth to military stuff to who knows. And it was travel all over the map. And I started to bounce around, and I took some courses, and I found some clarity, and I ended up discovering that women veterans was the perfect place for me to talk to people. And I started sharing first deployment stories, which I thought was going to be a mix of men and women, but ended up being mostly all women. And then I switched gears from deployments and started talking about just military women. And I started a podcast last January, and I just share the stories of military women and what their life has been like. And I use the motto of "You have, your story matters," because I think everyone has a story. And I just want women to know that their story matters and their service matters and that they should share it with others.
That is great. I love it. And I see you light up, like, because you found...
Yeah, I get so excited.
Oh, yeah, you found a purpose. And now I'm going to back up a little bit. So you're like, you know, you're blogging, but you hit on that engineer part. So is that what you were doing for the military? So tell me about that.
Yeah, my degree is civil engineering. And so I was a civil engineer in the Air Force. And Air Force civil engineers maintain the base. So the Air Force, unlike the Army, they like pick a base up and they build the runway and like they stay in one place. So they have a real need for the expertise of like civil engineering, and the Army is always moving, and so they make like temporary bridges and stuff to move forward. And so when I was in the Air Force, I actually deployed with the Army because they needed the civil engineer specialty. And so I deployed with the Army and was doing convoys in Afghanistan with the local people of Afghanistan, working as like a civil engineer managing construction projects. And so my military experience was a little crazy and not what I think most people think of.
Wow. Yeah. You don't think like Air Force engineer on the dirt roads of Baghdad, you know, or yeah. It's just crazy. So when you think back, is there like a specific, you know, detail or specific project that comes to mind that was a memorable one?
Well, I think my deployment was kind of like, it made me realize that I could do a lot of things that I didn't think I could do. I was really timid and shy, and I don't know, it's kind of funny because it's like I was in the Air Force and I was an officer and I had gone through all this training, but I still wasn't like sure of myself, and I definitely wasn't sure of myself going on an Army mission and going they stay off outside the wire, which is off base, and like interacting with local Afghan people. And so that part of it was really, I was so like terrified of like what was to come, and that like I wouldn't be able to do my job. But then I found out that the training the military gave me, and then I had a lot more in me than I realized. And so that kind of like pushed me in ways where it's really hard, but you have to grow a lot.
That's a really great way to put that. I think that's super cool. And what was your family thinking? Were they like, no, 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 that's not what your plan was. You weren't supposed to go outside the wire. Yeah. What were they saying?
My parents, I was surprised that my parents were as laid back about it as they were. And I don't really, I think they were worried about me, of course, but they kind of had accepted that I was joining the military, and like, I didn't have a say on if I was going or not. So it wasn't like there was anything they could do about it. So my family doesn't have any military background. So surprisingly, they were just like, okay, well, this is what's happening, and we're just going to go with it.
Send us a postcard.
My husband was in the Air Force, so I think we were already married, so he understood, like, the requirements. And I didn't tell them a lot of this stuff. I wrote letters home, like, via email, and they're always, like, positive and upbeat. And, like, some people thought that, like, deployment was great, and, like, there were good parts about it, but a lot of my emails didn't go into, like, the hard parts, and they definitely don't go into any of, I did have a combat experience, and I didn't write about that until, I wrote about it, and then I didn't send it until after I was home, so that people wouldn't worry about me.
Look at you, still worrying about everybody back there at home, because, yeah, it would have just caused, so, oh my gosh, my mom would worry her head off if you gave her too much information, and it's like, right. Disneyland, Mom, it's great. Mickey Mouse is here and we're going to be fine. And then you come home and you're like, well, actually, bullets were flying, and it was, you know, it's better that moms don't know about it till later. That's so true. So so you got into the military after you were married. And so that's interesting. What was it like going through the experience of joining up and going to boot camp and all of that in a married relationship? And, you know, just tell me a little bit about that.
We actually met to become an officer, there's like three main ways. And one is to go to the academy or to do officer training school, which is after you graduate. But also you can go to college and do a program called the Reserve Officer Training Corps, which is what my husband and I did. And that's where we met. So we were both doing that program. He was a year ahead of me, so he ended up graduating before me. But I did go the summer that I went to, they call it field training instead of boot camp, just to confuse people, I guess. But he would send me letters, and like he was off doing what other Air Force program he was doing. And so our lives were kind of like a little bit crazy, because there was a lot of like moving pieces and a lot of dynamics of like, when he graduated a year before me, so he went active duty, and I still had a year left of school. And so I stayed in California, and he went to New Mexico. And then when I finally went active duty, they sent me to Alabama, and then I came back to New Mexico, and then he was in Australia when I came.
Oh, man, total just, military family.
Yeah, and so that was kind of just like the crazy dynamics of like, even when I was deployed, he got accepted into a program that we had both applied for, and I didn't get in. I got to go to Afghanistan, and he moved to Ohio. So I came back to, like, a box of stuff he had left at my friend's house, and, like, my house was gone, and, like, everything was in Ohio except for the box of things he left behind. So it was kind of, like, our life was a lot of communicating by phone or email, and it was just an interesting, like, crazy
instability, like, was your years. Stability, like, that was just, you were in it, and that's, you guys were flexible, it sounds like, so that you rolled with it, you know. Most people, when they say, well, I came home to a box of my stuff, and, you know, it's usually not a good situation, but you guys were two military active duty and making it happen, so that's really cool. You guys, you really show how flexible you have to be in something like this. And you know, when you don't have a choice, when it's like, you're going, it's, I think it's easier on a relationship than when you do have a choice and you're choosing programs right. to do, you know, but when they're like, sorry, honey, but I have to go to Australia. It's like, well, we'll see you in a couple years, you know? So that's really great. Right. Now tell me, how long were you in the Air Force?
I was in 6.5 years.
That's pretty long stint. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Now, you came out of the Air Force, but you're still married to an active duty, right? And then you guys, so you got out. Did you have kids before or after you got out?
I had, my first son was born right at the end of, so when you get pregnant, well, officers kind of have a weird commitment. So officers, when you move, you have like a 2-year commitment, and then you can like get commitments for doing school or different programs, but it's not like an enlistment. So you serve, and then like your time of service requirement is up, and then you like either stay in and then you move again and then you get it. So it's kind of weird. So I was to the point when I got pregnant with my son that I didn't have any ties to staying in the military. So with all the craziness I just described, we knew that it didn't really make sense for both of us to stay in because we wanted to like have my normal life.
A little bit of stability.
And, yeah. And with my career field, I deployed a lot more and was at a higher deployment rate than my husband's career field. So it made more sense for me to get out and stay at home. And so I timed it so that the Air Force, I guess it wouldn't matter because I would have still got the Air Force to pay for it because he was active duty, but the Air Force paid for like the birth, and then I got my maternity leave, and then like a couple weeks after that, I finally went off active duty.
Nice. And now what's his profession?
He's a developmental engineer, and he works in space satellite stuff.
Okay, and yours was a what kind of engineer?
Civil engineer.
Oh, that's right. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. And so back up a little bit to where you were planning the logistics of your, because that's what military people do. They plan logistics. Yeah. And so you planned all that out. Now, what was it like being going through a pregnancy, being active duty? And where were you guys stationed at that time?
We were in Ohio, and it wasn't really any different than being normal. I still went to, they call it PT, which is, I think, physical training, which is working out. And so I think we did it 2 or 3 times a week, and I was fit and active up until they sent me to the hospital to be induced. And like, so it wasn't really any different except that like I knew I wasn't going to deploy because I was pregnant. And so I still did my job pretty much the same. I was working in an office area, so it wasn't like a lot of outside stuff, but I just had a new uniform that has, you know, just like how you get new clothes for maternity wear, they have a uniform that you can wear, and it was pretty much,
I bet
the
it's
same
super
thing
flattering, you know, I mean, just like
it's like a tent.
I know the dress uniforms from the military are just like, oh my gosh, can you make it any worse? Like, you know, right. It's one thing to have this big old belly, and it's another thing to just go ahead and throw a tent on her while you're at it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're not flattering.
It's like you're walking around with a sandwich board, basically. You're like, I'm having a baby. And like every day with that, I always see those pictures. I'm like, man, they're so dialed with so much that they do. I think that they could find like, they could look into, you know, maternity fashion a little bit for the U.S. you know, military.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
The pants are really comfortable, sure. though, so I can't, like, complain that much.
It's clearly not a comfort issue, because I can tell. It's kind of like the military muumuu that I think we would all, you know, be comfy in.
Right.
Oh, Lordy. Yeah. I hear you. That's cool. So then you guys, you had your first one, and you moved on from the military, and then next thing you know, you're now a military spouse, a veteran and military spouse, and made that shift. And so, and but you have 2 kids right now. They're what, 2 or 4 and 6? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you got the spread. So now you got 2 of them. And now you guys are living where at the moment? State, and where is he stationed?
We're in Northern Virginia, and he's stationed at the Pentagon.
Oh, really? Interesting. Okay. Oh, and so now that's going to bring me to, you brought up Space Force. I got to ask you. Mm-hmm. So it's the new, so tell me, like, what's the feel from military families? Like, you know, here we go, Space Force mode. Like, what is that kind of vibe and what's going on there on your guys' point of view?
I think a lot of people are excited because the space stuff has primarily been under the Air Force's control, and the Air Force is run by pilots. And so there's been a lot of stuff where people don't really understand what's going on in space. And I think to have someone leading it who's a general who works in that space arena will really help make impact and change. And it's really exciting, all the stuff that's going on. I watch a lot of the space launch, like SpaceX and like all these companies that I don't know because my husband's really excited about it. And I think people don't realize all the different stuff that's going on with space and from a private sector and a military standpoint. And so it's really exciting to be on like the wave. I feel like we're back when like the Air Force started and like we're, you know, they got out of the Army and became the Air Force, and it like changed how the culture and how things were done. And I feel like we're at the beginning stages, and it's exciting to see like what's going to happen.
Oh, that's cool. I really love that outlook on it. That's from that inside. And, so, you know, seeing you light up talking about it and having, I mean, you're living in a home now where your guys' mission now is Space Force and where that's moving forward to. And you have two kids that their dad is working on space programs. You know, that's pretty cool. And, and even though you're, you know, sure, you're not active anymore, but let's face it, you're the spouse. You are like super active in it. But, you know, you get to have all those great conversations and be in the middle of it. You're watching launches, you're studying up on all this stuff. But your husband probably comes home with a lot of stuff he can't even tell you. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that we don't talk. I mean, I don't really care about what he does per se. I'm not the best military spouse. So, like, I think because we were both active duty, we would, like, come home and then we wouldn't talk about work. So I think that kind of, like, because people will be like, what are his letters? And I'm like, don't ask me that question, because I barely remember that. And so it's more like, I guess we always focus on like what we can do together and like launching the launches and learning about like the different things going on. And so
that's cool.
So yeah.
Now I love the fact that it is so common that we have things that military people can't talk about, because if we don't have those top secret, you know, facets to what's going on, like I almost get perturbed when I hear things get leaked out to the news. I'm like, no, let's not share this. We need to hide this for our safety and our benefit. Like, let's, you know, so I don't even care what level it's at. Like, if it's, they can't even tell you what kind of fuel they're putting in their vehicle, it's like, well, there's probably a reason and it's keeping us safe. So zip the lip, you know, I dig that. And so, you know, there's got to be, sure, there's some mystery to it, but also it lets you know that he's on some missions that are really meaningful, you know. And by missions, I mean he's working on projects that are right, a part of something really big. So that's really cool and interesting.
Yeah. And he was telling me when he came back that they're actually trying to change a lot of the Space Force classifications, because right now a lot of the general public doesn't know what going on because it's so classified. And so they're trying to figure out a way to make it so that people can learn more about like what's happening in the world of in the space arena, so that it's not such a mystery, which is kind of interesting to see from
yeah. Well, and so especially it's kind of funny timing right now because Star Wars is so big again, right? So right. So it's like, well, the world is excited about space at the moment, but then now it's like trying to get that between trying to get the Star Wars and Darth Vader vision out of their head and Spaceballs out of their head, right? So it's somewhere in the middle. It's somewhere between, you know, a joke movie, a great fantasy movie, and reality. And so, you know, it's I think it's hitting the world at an interesting time right now. And especially, I remember the first time I heard the term Space Force, and I was like, oh, okay, like we're going to call something Space Force, you know? And here we are, and you know, going, so yeah, I could see how the messaging would be confusing, but I think that would be great, you know, for them to get more information out there. So, and sharing things like this, just talking about like, hey, what my husband does in the military, that's really great. It gets the conversation going. So now mm-hmm. You talked about when you were coming out of the military and you went through like a total identity crisis, right? And you were a new mom, too. So slam all that stuff together, because moms on a regular path go through an identity crisis. So tell me a little bit more about that struggle and how you overcame it.
Yeah, it was really hard. And I think I've been reading a lot about like transitioning out of the military and some of the stuff, and the programs that the military gives you is all about focused on getting a new job, but no one talks about the emotion of like what serving in the military is meant, what not serving in the military will mean. And so I felt kind of like betrayed by the military because they had given me these tools, but they like didn't help me because I wasn't going to get a job. And then I was a mom, and I always thought that babies, like they had all these books about babies. I thought they were helpful. And I thought, oh, I'll read all these books. And then, because that's what I had done my whole life. I had read the book, studied for the test, and then I would, you know, I wouldn't fail it.
Right.
And then I became my mom and I read all the books, and then I was like, don't help me.
It's like, still crying. Right. Yeah.
And so it was kind of like a mixture, like you said, like being a mom, someone told me it's like you have to break up with yourself, like break up with the old you. And then I was also struggling with like who I was as just a person, and even not working, because my degree's in civil engineering and I have this experience of being in the military. So like it wouldn't have been hard for me to find a job, but I didn't feel called to do that. I felt called to stay at home, and people just were like, I don't understand. And I was like, well, this is what's important to me. And they're like, but you're an engineer. And I'm like, but yeah, this is what's important to me. And so that was really a hard thing too, to like stick to what was actually important and not what the world was saying.
Well, that's trifecta. So you're into like breaking up with the military, breaking up with yourself, you know, it's four things. Cause then you're even going through, you know, you're going through the crisis of like the career guilt of, you know, there's the mommy guilt of going to work, and then you got the mommy guilt of not going to work. And it's like, man, give a girl a break, you know. And people, they don't understand like how conflicted you already are inside, and then they apply another little cut to that, and it's like you're getting just pushed over. So that had to be really hard. And I love what your convictions were, though. You're like, no, I want to, this is what I want to do, and there's a book on it somewhere, damn it, and I'm gonna read and figure out how to make this kid happy, and you know, all is going to be right with the world. So no, I love that approach. And clearly now I assume that you have a really supportive husband. So like, what was it like with your guys's relationship and going through that transition, and what kind of, you know, what kind of facets were happening there?
Well, he got sent to training when my son was 2 months old. So I was kind of like at the end of my time in the military, like out processing. And then I was losing that. And then he was gone. And then, you know, of course, when he leaves, like baby stops sleeping and all. So that was like another added thing that made it even harder. And so I was like, when he was gone for those 8 weeks, I was like, I just have to make it till he gets home, and then everything will be right again. And then he came home and it still wasn't, you know, and so that
wasn't
really
the magic potion.
No, I like expected him to like fix everything, and like he didn't fix everything. And so that was really hard too, because he was gone and then I was trying to figure it out, and then he came back, and that kind of just added more stress to my life, because like my son still wasn't sleeping.
I mean, I love you guys, but then you probably had like two babies, right? Because then, you know, you're trying to foster this relationship and everything, but then you're pissed at him because he's not fixing everything. Like, you were supposed to come in and just be that fixer. And, you know, oh God, yeah, I can totally see you, girl. Like, it's, you're smiling now, but I'm sure it wasn't all smiles then.
There's been a lot of tears. I wrote my testimony when my 4-year-old was like 6 months old, and there was a lot of crying. And now I can share that story without crying, but I've shared it multiple times. But there was like so much hurt and like so much forgiveness I needed to give myself for like not doing everything exactly perfectly. I think I was so hard on myself as a new mom, which I think is something that a lot of new moms struggle with, is that we think that there's this perfect mom, which is like, no one would expect their friend to meet that qualification, but then we put that on ourselves, and it's really hard.
Well, we look at it on social media, and you see somebody that's like, well, clearly she's got it figured out. Oh, no. Like, either she's got two nannies, or you have no idea the chaos happening behind her that she just got to all shut up and let me take this great picture. Right. Like, you know, even the ones that look perfect, it's they're not. But we all put that on ourselves. And, God, I can just imagine, like, what you were really – you had some serious layers, because there's women that go through these – things and go into postpartum depression and have so many issues, and they don't have near the layers that you are having. So you must have a lot to share. And I think it's so cool that you're doing it, how you're doing it. And from going to blogging about what color the sky is to then honing it in to what was really in your heart is really cool. And you, everyone has a story. That's really great. And hi, love. I'm so glad that we linked up, because I was watching you on social, on I think Instagram is where I found you, and I'm like, this girl's doing some cool stuff. And so, you know, tell me more about what it is that you're up to and doing, and as far as your blog and podcasting, and like, how can people find you and support you, and what do you need?
So my podcast is called Women of the Military, and you can listen to it on your favorite podcast app. And we still don't know what to say. Like, just
find her
it.
On your favorite podcast app, and please leave a review for.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not good about asking for reviews.
I know.
But I. So what I did was I started interviewing women, and I took all those stories. I was gonna do another blog series, but we moved from California to Virginia in the summer of 2018, and so then I felt really overwhelmed, and it was like a 31-day blog series. It's crazy. And so my friend was like, why don't you do a podcast? And I was like, oh, okay, let's try that. And so I was going to take those stories, and I was going to read them, but at the same time I was like, maybe I can find women who want to share their stories. And it had taken me a long time to find the women for the book that I now have, which is also called Women of the Military. And
Wait, I missed that piece. You wrote a book?
I wrote a book. It's like the podcast, but it's just written with all the interview questions.
Cool.
So, yeah. And it's 28 women with, it's primarily Air Force, which makes sense.
Oh my God, you're so biased. Yeah. It's just you do what you know. Really, it's what you know. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Where do people find your book?
It's on Amazon. Just search Women of the Military and you can get on Amazon.
Oh, I'm going to have a link in the show notes, you guys.
Perfect. And so I was going to like read those stories, but then I ended up getting, all these women got so excited, and I don't know how they found me, and they wanted to tell their stories. And so now I have women like banging down my door to tell stories, which is exciting, but I'm also like, I can only do like one episode a week, because it's a lot of work to like edit.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of work that goes into podcasting that I don't think people realize.
No, and there is. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've been sharing one week, each week I do a story, and usually once a month I do like me talking, solo episode, talking about different topics. And I've had all five branches, which I'm really excited about. So the Coast Guard, Marines, Navy, Air Force, and Army.
Yeah.
And I interviewed last year the former Secretary of the Air Force, Deborah James. So that was really exciting.
That's
and
cool.
Then I just interviewed last week, and she'll be on in March, one of the first Air Force generals. And she's turning 90 next month, and the Women's Memorial in D.C. is doing a big celebration.
Cool.
So I teamed up with them to interview her, which is like...
That is cool. Now, I got to ask you, what is it? I imagine, you know, my grandfather's passed away, but I couldn't imagine having a podcast interview with him at this point. We did try to do some recording with him. What was it like interviewing a 90-year-old vet? How did she do?
Well, I had her... She came to my house. I was going to go to her, but then the lady who was coordinating was like, we can drive to you. And I was like, well, that makes my life. So she sat in my living room, and we did it face to face. And I had given her like my general questions to help her, and she had done notes, and she, but we just went through the questions, and she, I'll have to edit it every once in a while because she would ask the lady who was with her, be like, what was the thing? And so it was just like, but, you know, it's not live, so it's easy for her. I, like, let her know if she needed to do that, that it was okay. So, but it was, like, an hour-long conversation of just hearing, like, history. It was
That's cool. I'm so glad you're capturing all this stuff. That is really, really great. Yeah, people think that, you know, you do podcasting, you just make a bunch of money off of it. It's at least podcasts like ours, they're passion-based. Like, they're, we do them because we have something we want to share or something we want to help people share. And, yeah, so, you know, support her, buy the book, listen to the podcast, leave a review. Do you have a, like a Patreon thing going?
I just started a Patreon, yes, cool. In December.
Nice.
So I can send you the link. But yeah, the lowest package is just $1 a month, which is $12 a year. And
I know, that's what I've got some people supporting me. And it's like, even if they're due a dollar, it's a huge nod to like, I support what you're doing.
It is.
And it feels so good. And all this stuff costs money, you guys, from the equipment to, you know, hosting things every month and the time that you put into it. It's not about making up for all the time but it's just about helping, you know, cover costs and then showing a creator like you that, like, I got your back. Like, here you go. Here's a book. It's like, here's a cup of coffee a month. Sweet. You know, so it's really great. And you can donate from a dollar to as much as you want per month. And it's just a really great way to show your support to people like Amanda. So that's very cool. Nice. Good. If not, I was going to make you start one. So I don't promote mine enough. Like I talk about it in the thing, but I am trying to get better about promoting it and going to start making some t-shirts and things like that because people are asking for all those. So that is so cool. Now tell me about, are there any other like challenges that you have been helping people overcome or dealing with in your life? Like what else is it that you want to share out there?
So one of the cool things that started happening with the podcast is that women who are looking to join the military, sometimes they get, discouraged from joining or they don't know someone. Or they don't know someone to talk to. And so they've been finding my podcast and I created a girl's guide to the military. So it's a free lead magnet to get you on my email
list. That'll be in the show notes. I'm going to put that in the show notes. Cool.
It's been really cool to connect with those young ladies who send me emails telling me like what branch they're coming. And then if they want to get connected with someone who's the same career field, I go on LinkedIn and I put a note and then I get all these people who are like, I'll talk to that young lady who needs help. And so it's so cool to be able to help women who are considering joining to have the resources they need to make that decision and not just be like, well, no, you can't do it. And so it's really cool.
Right. That's great. Yeah. The mentorship in it is huge. And that's, I'm loving all these network things because when we were younger, that just wasn't there. There wasn't that easy social ability. And so that right now, nowadays is like huge. And we don't want to have women not, that's why I created this podcast is to get young women to hear women like you and all these other places and be like, oh, I can do that. Or, you know, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, there's challenges, but listen to all this cool stuff too. You know, and to hear regular chicks out there doing cool stuff and you can go be a mom and you can go be a wife and you can, you know, you can be pissed off because you're both bouncing around the globe all the time, you know, but these are all the things that we want to hear, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the encouraging. So, and it's lessons learned, like you talking about your challenges coming out, having a baby, all that, all those crises that you were going through, that's important for people to hear so that it's not hitting them by surprise all the time. And so we just like to, you know, show the either the really cool stuff or the really devastating stuff. It's this in-between life that it's like everybody's living. And I think it's really cool to share it. So, and I love what you're doing with the young women. That's super cool.
Yeah. Pretty exciting.
Yeah. So you talked about you might move to California. You guys are thinking about California. Where would, if your husband was to come out here, where would he be based?
Probably at LA Air Force Base or Vandenberg.
Okay. So there's like a regular, there's a Los Angeles Air Base or what, where is that
it's
at? Right,
it's in El Segundo. It's really close to the airport. It doesn't have a runway. So people don't know that it's there.
Yeah, I don't really hear it referenced very often. I hear kids.
Yeah.
If he comes,
what do you need, Jacob?
Tell him to come
Is
crashing in. If he wants to come crashing in, bring him on in. Let's talk to Jacob. I love that. Get him up there.
He's coming. Hi. You have chocolate on. Do you want to say hi?
Oh, hi, Jacob. How are you? I can't see your face, so you got to scoot over a little bit. Hey, you guys, I am looking at this cutest little rotten blonde-headed little boy who is just the coolest. What's up, Jacob? Hi. Do you
say hi?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. How old are you, Jacob?
4.
No, you're not. You're 4. Oh, my gosh. Hey, Jacob, you know what? Your mom is super cool. Oh, she just gave her a big old kiss. Your mom's pretty cool. Yeah. You better keep a hold of her. Are you being good?
Yeah.
All right. Do you need her to go push a button? Can you give me like 5 more minutes? And then she can go push your button. Deal?
I get back in.
So do they know what mom and dad, like what that you were in the military and what you do and what dad does?
They know that he's in the military, and on Veterans Day sometimes we talk about the fact that I was in the military, but I don't know if they quite understand. I went to the preschool class and to my son's school, and I talked about being in the Air Force and being a veteran.
Good.
And so my husband was like, I'm not a veteran yet, so it's all about you. And so it was really cool. Aww. for me to get to share. And I brought my uniform I wore when I was in Afghanistan, and it had patches, and I read a children's book. I can send you the link to it, but it's about, it's called Captain Mama, and she wrote a series about her son asking questions about being a navigator in the Air Force. So
yeah, send that link over. That's really cool. Great. Yeah, and all this stuff that you're recording now and you're doing, the kids are going to have 20, 30 years down the line to know their mom. So that's really cool. So Amanda, it has been so great talking to you and lovely meeting little Jacob and hearing about all of your stuff. I bet he's going to come up and just totally crash on you any minute, and I'm ready for it. He's back. Hey, buddy. So just tell me one more time, though, as we close out, the name of your podcast, your book, and then I'm going to put the links to everything in the show notes.
My podcast is Women of the Military, and you can find it on your favorite podcast app. And the book is also titled Women of the Military, and you can find it on Amazon.
Very great. All right, Amanda, I'm going to let you get back to that little guy, because if not, we're going to have a whole separate Jacob interview. I can already see this happening. Well, thanks so much for being here and taking the time. And I look forward to catching up with you soon. And I would love to interview some of the women that you heard from and help spread their stories too. So you have a wonderful day. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for hanging out with me and Amanda and being here in this interview with us. It has been an honor to have your time. Now, if you can and you're willing, I would love to have you as a patron. You can check out our show notes for the link to that. We're needing more patrons to support the podcast. And we talked about that with Amanda in there too. If you support what she's doing, you can do it for just $1, $5, whatever it is that you think that what we're creating is worth. We would really appreciate that. Please check out what she's doing. It sounds like she has a book that I didn't even see. I'm going to go check that out on Amazon right now. All the links will be there in the show notes. And, you know, share this podcast. Leave it a review. Let folks know about it. It means a lot to us. Because every time that we share these stories, somebody out there is inspired, and that's what it's all about. Now, you guys have a great day, and thanks again for being here.